Yeah, I am a research scientist with the Office of Mental Health in New York. And this is an initial eval of the PROS program, no relationships to disclose. I just wanted to present the PROS recovery model, the personalized recovery-oriented services, and the program eval that we've been doing so far, and then just some preliminary findings in hospitalization outcomes. So the questions we had were, is participation in PROS associated with the number and duration of hospitalizations after discharge, ideally a reduction in hospitalizations? What are the client level predictors of hospitalization after discharge from the PROS program? So just a little about, and you may be already aware of, the recovery model. Since the 90s, programs serving individuals with serious mental illness have been redesigned generally to use a recovery model. And that's an individualized, person-centered, strength-based, promotes integration into community life. Most programs, however, are excluding individuals with substance dependence. So the services are often still fragmented, and that's changing now. Previous evaluations have shown that supported employment programs have reduced psychiatric hospitalizations and increased employment, and psychoeducation programs have increased knowledge about mental illness, but they didn't reduce hospitalizations. Relapse prevention programs reduced relapse and rehospitalization. But to my knowledge, I haven't seen an evaluation of a more comprehensive treatment program. And so that's what we think PROS is doing. The first PROS program was licensed in 2006. It serves adults with serious mental illness and co-occurring SMI and substance use. About 85% are on Medicaid. It's an outpatient rehab program with the emphasis really on rehab, not just medication management and treatment. So employment, educational activities are involved in the programs. And those enrolled in the PROS program attend anywhere from 2 to 60 or more hours in the month. It's a rehabilitation model, so recovery-oriented, strengths-based. There are individualized treatment plans, and those who are enrolled are involved in developing their treatment plans. It uses various evidence-based practices like supported employment. There's often a supported employment specialist in the PROS program, wellness self-management. There are groups that they would attend, focusing on the co-occurring disorders and the treatment of co-occurring disorders. Family psychoeducation is a component. And it focuses really on a group-centered approach. It uses a group-centered approach. They all have the individual case managers. But it's sort of modeled after college courses. Those who are enrolled choose the programs that they'll attend, what classes they'll go to, what they want to focus on at that time, based on their previous experience and their interests. And the staff at PROS with the patients, they do a baseline assessment when you enter the program, and then every 6 months a follow-up. There are, of course, more than every 6 months are they doing progress notes and follow-ups, but every 6 months they are entering data electronically into the New York's OMH's Child and Adult Integrated Reporting System. So, and that is the data that we receive at the central office. Our evaluation history briefly. So as of March of 2015, there were 89 PROS programs throughout New York. The census was 10,000, over 10,000. It's now about 11,000. And that ranges from about 50 to 250. Across the state, so it's not as though the programs in the city are the large programs, and those in the rural areas are smaller. It's pretty diverse across the state as far as size of the programs. The average length of stay is 16 months. The median was 9 months. So we generally see about a year, but they're in PROS. Our office, the Office of Performance Measurement and Evaluation, has been reporting their services utilization, so hospitalization rates, ER rates, and their social outcomes, psychosocial outcomes, so education and employment rates, biannually at the statewide, regional, and program level since we started in 2006. So the eval questions for this preliminary evaluation here, again, is PROS associated with enrollment in PROS associated with a reduction in hospitalizations, and what are the client level predictors of hospitalization after discharge. So our cohort was everyone who had been discharged through June of 2014. We excluded those who were discharged due to death or incarceration. Those who were in for just 1 month were excluded, and they had to be enrolled for at least 80% of the evaluation period, which is 6 months pre-PROS, and while they're in PROS, and then the 6 months post-PROS is the entire evaluation period. It's a retrospective cohort design used to look at change in hospitalization rates from pre to post. And the eval period, again, is that 6 months pre, 6 months post, and then the time during PROS. I used a chi-square to look at differences in the post-PROS hospitalization rates by the demographics that we have available, and the differences in pre to post hospitalization rates. And then a regression to determine the individual level factors that were associated with hospitalization after discharge. So I looked at the outcome variables are the for each hospitalization type, the number of hospitalizations and the number of days. So our data source was, again, that CARES electronic database that's coming from the PROS programs, as well as Medicaid. Medicaid was used to identify the Medicaid eligibility and the hospitalization rates. So the individual level predictors used in that regression really were demographics, so sex, age, race, and then the diagnosis, length of stay in PROS, and then some psychosocial predictors that are in CARES, homelessness at any time during PROS, competitive employment, criminal justice activity while they were in PROS, and education level at the most recent follow-up in PROS. Medicaid, again, was used to identify the outcome variables, and those were psychiatric hospitalizations, SUD hospitalizations, and then physical health medical hospitalizations, and then overall total hospitalizations. The occurrence of any hospitalization in the pre-admission and post-discharge periods was used for the chi-square, and the number of days was used in the regression for outcome variables. The outcome model in the regression, the dependent variables again were the hospitalizations, and then the number of hospitalizations and the number of days, adjusting again for those predictors that I mentioned earlier. The sample was primarily men, 54% male, 55% white, 28% black, 11% Hispanic, and 47% you see there with schizophrenia ever in while they're in PROS, 23%, and this is a primary or secondary diagnosis of bipolar, and then 46%, and we see that pretty consistently in the PROS program, with a substance use disorder. 15% with criminal justice activity, 7% being employed while they're in PROS, and that's competitive employment. So paid employment, not just volunteer work. And homelessness ever in PROS is 5%, average age is 41. Again, the length of stay is about a year, and the education level is high school is a 4. That's on a continuous scale. And then just looking at the chi-square of the breakdown of the percentage who had been hospitalized at least once post-PROS, overall is 14%, and that increases if you're male, black, Hispanic, have a diagnosis of schizophrenia, bipolar, SUD, and it's, of course, lower if you have been competitively employed at any time in PROS, and higher if you're homeless ever in PROS. And those were all significant chi-squares comparing those to the other male to female, et cetera. And then this is just the results of the chi-square. So it's, you know, comparing these pre-rates to the post-rates, the percentage with at least one hospitalization. So 24% hospitalized in the pre-post period and 14% in the post-pros, and that is a significant difference. We didn't see it in the medical hospitalizations, but did in the SUD hospitalizations, from 5% to 3% there. And then the regression results basically showing that still there is a reduction in hospitalizations. So, and this is looking at the average number of hospitalizations and the average number of days hospitalized. So, again, you see in the pre-PROS period, the average number of hospitalizations is, the number of days hospitalized is 7, and then reduced to 5 in the post-PROS. And you see the same numbers after adjusting for all of those predictor variables that I mentioned earlier. So the same reduction even after including those predictors. And then just a breakdown, and this is just predicting the post-PROS hospitalizations of what predictors were significant. And you see that all of them are, except for education level, and this is the relative rate, so reported like odds ratios. So the males then have a 15% higher relative rate of being hospitalized post-PROS than females, et cetera. So you see that hospitalization pre-PROS, you're at a higher risk for hospitalization post-PROS. And then you see that a longer length of stay is a protective factor, education level, higher education level is a protective factor, those are less than one, competitive employment is a significant protective factor. Some implications. PROS serves a high number of co-occurring disorder patients and is associated with a decrease in psychiatric and substance-related hospitalizations. Black and Hispanic young males with schizophrenia, bipolar, and substance diagnoses, and this is a long list of predictors. Of course, this is a large population, not just all of these factors in one individual. But a history of unemployment, homelessness, psychiatric hospitalization, shorter length of stay in PROS are higher risk for hospitalization post-discharge, so linkage to services. Post-discharge might be especially important for those populations. Strengths of this analysis. A limitation was that since the sample is only those who are Medicaid eligible, results aren't generalizable outside of that population. And the addition of the CARES data allowed for inclusion of those socio-demographic indicators that aren't in Medicaid. So next steps are quite a few. We want to include employment, educational activity, substance treatment attainment as outcome variables, compare it to a control group, and or use multiple time points in a time series analysis. Look at the impact of PROS dosage. We have access to that in Medicaid, whether they're attending 2 hours a month versus 60 plus on their outcomes, and other program level indicators are available, and then maybe look at an ideal dose trajectory in predicting outcomes for various cell populations. So maybe those co-occurring versus various diagnoses. So my references. So any questions? There often are in clinic other outpatient treatment. We don't have access to that information. Through Medicaid, we can follow them and seeing if they're getting med prescription fills, going into other state-operated services, but only via Medicaid. We don't know that.
What is the discharge criteria?
They can leave voluntarily, but that they've met their goals. There are discharge reasons that we have access to in CARES that the staff and the patient would report into CARES, and that is achieved goals, refused services, moved to a higher intensity of services. So we don't have a lot of knowledge about where they would go post. Except for what we see in Medicaid. Yeah.
What was your question?
You mean in the PROS program? There was an assessment of, the PROS model, they are, did I mention a strengths assessment in that?
I thought you said it was a strength-based approach.
Yes, there is. In their individualized recovery plan, the case manager that's working with them would assess their strengths, and there really is in their IRP a space for them, and they would ideally be writing it in themselves at, for some patients. So, yeah.
That's a methods question, and about the Medicaid was your source for
hospitalizations,
but you also said that it included state hospitals and psychiatric hospitals, but there's the exclusion in Medicaid for paying for institutions for mental disease, so where did that information from the state hospitals come from?
We did, I guess that is an omission in my slide. We get data from MARS. It is data about state hospitalizations.
Curious, when you have the slide up that shows the hospitalization results post-PROS, how the medical hospitalization stayed higher than expected in years ago. Perhaps, and I wonder if there was any overlap between the substance use disorder population, hospitalization, and the medical. Based on how
the
COVID was medicated, if in fact some of those medical hospitalizations were substance use related, if there's any, if you looked at that at all,
or why you thought that was higher. Well, we do. It wouldn't be a redundant hospitalization. They are exclusive of each other, and it is based on the diagnosis. And rate codes in Medicaid that you would differentiate. Right, and rate codes in Medicaid that you would differentiate the two. There wouldn't be an overlap that they would stay the same, or there wasn't a significant decrease.
Maybe I'll give a little bit more background. What I've seen from the substance use treatment providers is that the substance use issue will be missed as the primary reason for putting burn, and then the next step of identifying that that was the underlying cause of substance use
I
was just curious.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I wondered if, because you do see in their admission, it's not reported here, often in their PROS admission, there's no diagnosis of substance. You see it at follow-up. So it's identified while they're in PROS. And I wondered if there were medical issues being identified while they're in PROS.
Do you have access to the discharge diagnosis? Sometimes by the time an individual is discharged, sometimes they may have picked up.
Right, and they start getting substance treatment.
Yeah.